Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
We were 5 minutes ago.
Okay. Constantly improving the show.
We try.
Working our way up the ladder of success.
Like, contrary to popular opinion, we put a lot of effort.
Okay.
Contrary to popular opinion, we put some effort into the show.
Contrary to popular opinion, someone puts effort somewhere.
Into the show.
Into the show.
True. Yeah,
as well as other places.
Well, okay.
Sometimes it's the wrong place.
And now for our number two story.
No bonus hole Free Talk Live.
Nope.
It is drilling the third hole on this show.
It is Free Talk Live. I'm so... discombobulated is the... I'm not combobulated.
Not combobulated.
At all. Okay. Like,
what's going on, Kevin?
I had a bit of a headache, and so I laid down to take a nap, and then I woke up late, and then I'm all in a rush to try and get down to the, because we had a dinner thing.
It was a big dinner thing.
And a lot of people showed up, of course, because, well, it's the eve before sentencing part two.
The turnout was so good, there was no service.
Yeah, no, the service, we overwhelmed those people.
Right.
Almost on a weekly basis.
Right.
And there was one week, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago where, like, they just closed.
Yeah.
Supposed to be open on Sundays, and their hours posted on their door says, you know, hey, we're open Sunday until, I don't know, 10 or 11 p.m. or something like
that. But they said, no, we need a break from these people. So they closed.
I don't know if it was us specifically or they had something else going on, but we were all, you know, normally going to go meet there like we do. And, like, no, it was just closed, lights off, door locked. There was a note, sorry, we closed today. Didn't, you know. No explanation, you know, not like, oh, there's a death in the family. Like, sometimes people will post these things. They didn't have anything on their website or their social media that says, hey, we're closed today, which you would think that's the first thing you'd do, as opposed to printing out a piece of paper and taping it to your front door.
And I drive a long way to come to that meetup.
You do.
Right. So today, like, when I woke up to get ready to come this way, I'm like, I'm just going to call. Just to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Before I make that journey an hour earlier than I need to.
Oh, you called them.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You had mentioned that in a message to me, and I thought you meant you were going to call me. And
No.
Okay.
I called them. I called the restaurant. So, like, are you open?
Yeah.
Do you plan on staying open until the posted closing time?
Right. Nice.
And I got a confirmation, and I let everyone else, you know, in the group know that that you could expect to be there, and unless they were lying to me, you know, they would be open.
Fantastic turnout.
But I'm also used to being like served table side, like a normal sit down restaurant. And I get there, and there's just a line at the counter of people ordering. I'm like, well, I better.
30 people.
Yeah, I better get in line now, so I'm not going to be able to eat before the show.
Well, and I was confused, too, because, like, I got there, and there was a line at the counter, but then there was also somebody at the first long table taking everybody's order. And I tried to tap her on the shoulder and be like, hey, can I get in on this ordering thing? And, like, she just turned around and walked away.
Nope.
Like, didn't even tap on the shoulder. Didn't even look that direction. You know, normally, like, if you're trying to mess with somebody, you tap them on the shoulder.
That's
what
I did to the captain when I walked in. He totally didn't fall for it.
I totally didn't. I was like, that's
because he always does that,
rich.
So he knows that trick.
Well, I've probably only done it once before. Jeez.
I think you've done it more than once, but at the same time.
No, Captain always does that.
Oh, at the same time,
he's done that
to
me like 10 times, and I always fall for it every time.
Okay, I'm going to get Nikki
times?
Then.
Probably, maybe more.
I'm switching targets then, if I see Nikki.
Because, you know, absolutely, I will tell you right now, I will fall for it.
Oh, my God.
And I will never learn.
All right, so the show is called Free Talk Live, in case you're wondering what the heck you're listening to.
Tis.
The telephone number, if you would like to call us and join on tonight's program, we are a live radio call-in program. The phone number, 603-283-6160.
I see abnormally blinking lights on the phone. Are we operational?
No, we are, but like, there's a thing. There's a gremlin in the system.
Just making sure that they can get through.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll see.
Okay, fair enough. Carry on.
I know how to, well, I'm not even going
to
brag.
We don't have to do tech support over the phone.
No.
Or the air.
Again, 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join us in the studio tonight, it is myself, the, oh man, like I told you, I'm discombobulated. I got to remember this. The Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will.
Sounds right.
And?
Nikki.
And Richie Rich, who I'm now self-describing myself as an evolutionary capitalist.
And what does that mean?
I don't know. Well, doesn't matter.
So you remember there's a certain caller that describes himself as this?
I try not to.
Okay. So there was a claim made that because he's the only, that he was our favorite. Right? And Richie Rich was like, we can't stand for that.
Yeah.
So he's now self-identifying as an evolutionary capitalist. So Richie Rich can now be our favorite evolutionary capitalist.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your service.
No problem.
T-Y-F-Y-S. That's right. Captain's Log, Stardate 1001-2023.
Okay.
1001? Yeah, 1001.
Yeah,
October 1st. Wow, it's October.
Rocktober.
Thank you for the correction.
Yeah, right. That's Rocktober to you.
If you're going to correct me earlier, I'm going to correct you publicly, man.
That's right. That's right. You put the R in Rocktober?
Is that a pickup line?
No.
Oh.
If it is, it's a poor one.
Okay.
There's like very little imagination.
It only has to work on one, man.
Yeah, all right, that's true. One at a time.
There you go. The three M's. We're not doing that on air.
No, okay. All right.
Anyways.
We have many things to talk about. Today is a really interesting day.
Terrible anniversary.
This is... Today, Ross Ulbricht begins his 11th year in prison.
For not any crime.
Boo!
Here's a quote from him from apparently today. 1 year for, that's Ross Ulbricht, for those of you who don't know who I'm talking about. Ross Ulbricht.
Dread Pirate Roberts of the Silk Road.
FreeRoss.org is where you want to go to learn about this gentleman, who has been, in my opinion, politically... imprisoned.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep. For starting a website.
Yep.
Anyway, Ross's quote via Twitter. So Ross is able to send messages to like a family member, and then a family member has control over his Twitter account and just posts his messages vicariously. So we're assuming this is a direct quote from Ross based on our knowledge of that fact. 1 year for each finger on both hands. Today ends a full decade in prison. I sometimes fear I'll spend the rest of my life behind concrete walls and locked doors. But I have no one else to blame. It's my poor choices that led me here. All I can do now is pray for mercy.
Oh, see, they've turned him. He now thinks he did something wrong.
Well, so the thing is about prisoners. There are things that you can, perhaps should do to curry favor with your captors,
mm-hmm.
so that you may have some glimpse of a release, an early release, what they call good behavior, these types of a thing. So I fully anticipate Ross to say things like this, but I also disagree with his sentiment as it's written here.
This is also why I tend to lean towards not peace, right? Because I would trade all the lives of all the bureaucrats for one Ross Ulbricht.
Yeah, I agree with that, honestly.
And so...
if that trade were able... I mean, I know many people who would...
The Avengers?
I would end them all.
How the dude snaps his finger?
Right.
Yeah, if we could... like, if I could do it that way, absolutely. I'm not going to, like, per se go to war over it. Like, I'm not going to become a soldier. But yeah, if I could just Thanos all these bureaucrats and free Ross, absolutely.
In a heartbeat.
The website freeross.org has multiple quotes from people. What purpose does it serve? And as it changes, should Ross Ulbricht's unduly harsh sentence be left to stand, it would be harmful to both our legal system and the trust that the public places in our courts. That's Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico.
And, you know, just for context, his sentence is 2 life sentences for creating a website. People have murdered someone for less than that. And gotten sentenced to less than that is what I mean.
Yeah. What purpose does it serve to still keep Ross incarcerated? He's an example of our broken criminal justice system. Let this man go. He's done enough time. That's Alice Marie Johnson, a criminal justice reform advocate and author.
He's done 10 years more than he ever should have.
Oh, yeah.
If this is the start of his 11th year, he's completed 10. Right. That's 10 too many.
An entire book could be written on Ross Ulbricht's takedown. Most articles about his case present false or misleading information. Jesse Ventura, a former governor of Minnesota. So the man has an incredible base of support. The Silk Road and the trial of Ross Ulbricht involve many important and complex issues that impact the life of Mr. Ulbricht and us all. Keanu Reeves, actor. Yeah, 3,653 days in prison, according to freeross.org. First time offender, so he had never been in trouble with the law at any level near as I could tell, much less a federal level.
Sure got a speeding ticket somewhere along the line.
I mean, I don't
maybe
even
not
know.
Even.
I don't even know, right? But everything, all of the charges were all nonviolent mm-hmm. that he faced. And
but they did bring up, like, murder for hire.
Well, yeah, but that's not has nothing to do with him as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
What other people do.
And they had no evidence to support those claims either. Like,
but that's like saying, okay, yeah. Well, who invented the internet? Because they should be, you know, imprisoned for, you know, I'm sure a bunch of illegal stuff has happened on the internet. Well, so, like, that's like saying that, you know? Yeah. Or Facebook. Yeah. People get scammed on Facebook all the time. I'm sure, like, there are pedophiles using Facebook, yeah. whatever.
With Zuckerberg ain't
so,
in jail.
Yeah, are we going to imprison him?
I mean, perhaps we should, but, like, if all things were fair, we wouldn't see stuff like Ross Ulbricht. We wouldn't see stuff like Ian Freeman in the Crypto Six.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We wouldn't see stuff like any of these things. I mean, we talk about
Schiff, Larkin Rose, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
We talk about so many of these things here on Free Talk Live that from time to time, like, they come back up, and I'm like, didn't we talk about that? And it's like, no, this is a new one.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. And they, you know, of course, when change doesn't happen, you continue to see the same violations of human consent, specifically by the state. Because change has not happened.
Nikki, go ahead. No.
I was going to say, you mentioned 2 life sentences, 40
yep.
plus 40 years.
So 2 life sentences plus 40 years? How does that even make sense?
Yeah, how long is a life sentence? Like, to me, it sounds like lifetime, right?
Well, that's why the
so
multiple...
So how can you do it twice?
So, and there's a reason for it when it comes to, like,
good
qualifying
time.
For parole and stuff like that. I can't explain exactly how it works, but there is a reason why they will give people multiple life sentences for certain things. But I think every single person in the world, I would think, could agree that that is completely unwarranted this situation.
Double life sentence plus 40 years.
So again,
without parole.
So I'll bring this up again,
yeah.
right? The inside the system people, right? The people who are seeking change through political means have been petitioning politicians for a decade
yep.
to give Ross a pardon or clemency
yep.
or whatever, right?
And in fact, there's a
unsuccessfully.
Place, there's a place where you can add to the petition at freeross.org.
Fine, do it. Right? Spend whatever energy you want to, but they've been doing it for a decade.
Yep.
They've got celebrities who knows what's going on. They've reached out to, you know, Gary Johnson's, lower level politician who knows what's going on. Right? And the political solution has not been successful and doesn't appear like it's going to be successful in the near future.
It rarely is.
It rarely is.
Didn't Vivek say that he was going to pardon Ross?
Are you going to vote for Ramaswamy?
No, I'm not going to vote for anybody.
Okay.
I was just saying. I think that was said part of his political bureaucrat promises, as they do.
Okay. Well, they all make a lot of promises, and we'll see if they live up to it.
You know who I would
believe?
I want
penalties for broken promises.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't really like that guy, but if I were to see any president given the options, it would probably be him. Like, that would probably be my choice. I'm not going to go out of my way to vote for the guy because I don't really vote. But.
You know who I would believe?
Who?
It's like some, like, gang members or maybe even, like, outlaw bikers. Like, if either of these two organizations were like, we're going to free Ross, I would believe them, right? They'd stage a breakout, right? You know, this kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
And it'd be all over the news. And
an underground railroad to some non-extradition country.
Right, yeah.
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 That would be more effective than the political means.
Oh, yeah, yeah. By some politician going, I'll free Ross if you elect me.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Sure.
But how do we know you're going to actually do that? Because, well, you wouldn't be the first politician to say some crap and then not do it when you got elected. In fact, that's generally what happens. Most politicians say a bunch of crap that they don't do once they get elected.
And everyone is so, I don't want to generalize and say everyone, but the majority of the population is so dumb and delirious that they don't even realize that the people they voted for and the people they still worship and love, these presidents and other bureaucrats, they don't even notice when they don't keep their promises.
Yeah.
Well, they blame it on somebody else.
Oh, it's the Republicans.
He wanted to get stuff done, but
Democrats.
The House and the Senate wouldn't let him.
Right. It was the Democrats.
Oh, his hands were tied behind his back because
he got
new information when
he got elected.
And even if that was the case, let's give Donald Trump, Joe Biden, whatever. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they did try to uphold all of their campaign promises, and it was the Democrats, the Republicans, the House, the Senate, whatever. Doesn't that just prove that the political system doesn't work?
Right.
Yes.
So at the very least, even if these people had good intentions, they were trying to uphold their, you know, their campaign promises. If it doesn't work, and it hasn't worked in like 200 years, well, duh, maybe we should stop doing that. Like,
try something different.
Yeah.
Let's just keep banging our head against the wall and voting for these idiots. Cool.
Yeah. What do they call it? Insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again?
Yeah, with the same result. Yeah.
Expecting different
the same result. Yeah.
If you want something different, you got to do something different than what you've been doing.
Yeah. And all this, of course, is not lost on the eve of today, of Ian Freeman's sentencing part two.
Part two.
I don't even know. I don't know enough about court procedure and that kind of thing, but I got to think that, like, it's not often that a sentencing hearing is split.
I don't think so. I mean, I was surprised.
Like,
well, new information have come to light, dude. Right? Restitutions have not been decided.
Well, like, it was just, I don't know, man. To me, it feels like a stalling tactic.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Isn't that like the entire court system?
Well.
The whole thing is just, oh, we're just going to push it back. We're just going to, you know, one side or the other, the prosecution or the defense, they both use this tactic of, you know, dragging things out.
The irony is, I had an attorney once who said, like, you want to drag it out as long as possible.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Okay. The further you get from the incident, the more likely you have of not being penalized for it. Or something to that effect.
It depends. That all obviously all depends.
This was from an attorney.
Yeah.
I did not get the rationale. We did not speak in depth on the topic. But he's like, yeah, because I guess.
I think in general, yeah.
In a low-level case, right, if you can waste a year. Right, that cop's going to have no recollection of what really happened.
Well, just for example, in Aria's case, if she were to postpone her sentencing, that would give the prosecution time to use, or no, it would give the defense time to analyze the Ian's, Ian's trial,
right.
So they could use that. So essentially, if she postponed it, it's like, would she have gotten more time? We don't know.
Right.
But
right.
For them to be able to use that, maybe wouldn't have been better for her. So I would just, that was the first thing that popped to my mind in that case. Dragging it out any longer, maybe, well, we don't know this, obviously, but maybe would not have been to her benefit.
I mean, it's advice from an attorney. He's part of the system, so he knows what those problems are. But he's a defense attorney.
Based on what I've seen in general, it does seem like that tends to be true. Drag it out long enough, and then they're like, whatever.
I have personal desires for Mr. Freeman's case to be drug out as long as possible. The idea being that as far as the show operations are concerned, we have a couple of wizards.
Yep.
And, you know, we've prepared for a period of time for neither of them to be available, but it would behoove us as a show to be closer to having one of them available than not, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. So the longer Ian's drags out, the closer we get to Arya getting out, and the show operations can remain rather static.
Sweet.
You know, is the hope. So we'll see what happens. I would not be surprised if we go tomorrow and something similar happens. Where they're like, nope, we gotta yeah. do a thing. We gotta do another thing, and so the things that we're doing today, we can only do this much, and now we gotta continue it.
That's kind of how I feel.
Like,
regardless, people should still show up to support absolutely if they can, and I think there's some sort of protest or some sort of
there's a thing planned.
A thing.
Dave Ridley of the Ridley Report. Has organized loosely a protest to happen before. So the actual sentencing is at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. at Concord. What is it? What's the address?
55 Pleasant Street in Concord. I've been there a few times. Yeah.
There was a sign-making event earlier today. I thought I read about it. Okay.
Yeah, right on the porch, I guess.
Whatever.
Folks were at the Free Talk Live studio making protest signs. Of course, there will be media there again. One of the reasons that I feel like the split of the sentencing hearing into two happened, even though they won't admit this, their reasons are, the court made an error in procedure, and so we got to stop here and go back and do with that, whatever. I think it's because of the media attention.
Yep.
There were, NBC was there, NBC Boston. There were two documentaries. There was WMUR was there, and this is just for the last hearing. And so all these same entities are expected to show up again tomorrow.
Yep.
The amount of people who showed up in support of Ian last time was incredible. It would warm my heart if we could top that this time and show them that, your stall tactic actually backfired. We got more media. We got more people there, protesting. We packed the courtroom. We packed the overflow room. You know, these things would warm my heart greatly.
In a lot of the preliminary hearings, we gave this particular judge a lot of credit for what seemed to be reason and rationality and how he was handling certain aspects of the other trials.
Yeah.
And so with the amount of letters that poured in, right, hopefully he's going to be able to use some of his discretion. I realize that the jury got it wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Because he heard all the evidence.
He did.
He knows what was proven and what was not proven.
And he even chucked out a couple of the charges or whatever. So,
fingers crossed.
603-283-6160. How do you feel about Ross Ulbricht still being in prison? Give us a call. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. The Supreme Court starts a new term tomorrow as it considers another round of significant cases that could have a long-term impact on the legal landscape. The latest arguments involve questions related to the First Amendment's free speech clause, Second Amendment restrictions, and election redistricting. Reselling concert tickets or sporting event tickets, you may have to pay some taxes on that income.
According to an updated form, individuals who earned over $600 from ticket resale must now declare that income as taxable. This change comes in response to a surge of grievances regarding ticket resellers inflating inflating prices, notably for events like Taylor Swift's recent Eras Tour. I'm John Schaefer.
James Earl Carter Jr., lovingly known as Jimmy Carter, the 39th President of the United States of America, turns 99 years old today. The party was moved up a day to ensure that it wouldn't be canceled by a potential federal government shutdown that Congress was able to avoid after the Senate passed a stopgap bill late Saturday night. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. The telephone number, if you would like to join us, 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's
Richie Rich.
Nikki.
And I am your host in the first chair, the Reverend Captain Kickass. We've been talking about Ross Ulbricht, who, as of today, begins his 11th year in prison for creating, well, Ross Ulbricht is condemned to die in prison for creating an anonymous e-commerce website called Silk Road. An entrepreneur passionate about free markets and privacy, he was 26 when he made the site. He was never prosecuted for causing harm.
Probably saved lives.
Or bodily injury. Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Ross Ulbricht, but Silk Road did more to prevent violence happening in narcotics interactions than any government agency has ever done. That's right. A 26-year-old man built a website that had more effect on making safe transactions when it comes to narcotics than any government agency has ever done. And all of them combined. He's done more than all of them combined. At any rate, an entrepreneur passionate about free markets and privacy. He was 26 when he made the site. He was never prosecuted for causing harm or bodily injury. And no victims were named at his trial.
Double life sentence plus 40 years. No harm, no victim, no crime.
Right. So,
American justice.
Yeah. just us. Right? If you're not part of them.
And you can't even call it a racial thing because he's a white dude.
Users of Silk Road chose to exchange a variety of goods, both legal and illegal, including drugs.
Voluntarily.
Most commonly small amounts of cannabis. Prohibited was anything involuntary that could harm a third party. Ross was not convicted of selling drugs or illegal items himself, but he was held responsible for what others sold on the site. Yep. Do you see eBay being held responsible for, you know, I don't know, Chinese knockoffs or whatever, right? No. Right? Do you see Facebook Marketplace being held responsible for when somebody like sells a lemon car or something?
Mm-hmm.
Right? No, you don't see any of that. But for some reason, the state decided that they were going to hold Ross Ulbricht responsible for what people sold on a website.
eBay and Facebook are on the legitimate web. Ross Ulbricht operated on the dark net. And we all know that anything that happens on the dark net is inherently illegal and bad for society. And so this is the result.
The biggest point of contention for me is Ross was and continues to be smeared with false, unprosecuted allegations of planning murder for hire that much of the media amplified through inaccurate and sensationalized reporting. Not to mention the movie they made about it where they were like, basically, they were at the end, they showed him hitting like enter, you know, and he would put out, yes, I would like to purchase a murder, please. Okay. Right? He typed that in like a chat room or whatever, and then he sat there and thought about it for a minute, and then he hit enter.
Ooh.
According to the movie, right, which yeah. never happened.
Based on a true story, right. But not the actual true story.
Right. And so we get to see an illustration of how the state uses media to ruin a person's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Based on reputation alone. None of the things they put forward were true, but they're commonly accepted because they were said yeah. on television. They were mm-hmm. said on radio. They were said in the news.
Why would the news lie to me about Ross Ulbricht?
When we see that so much, too. I mean, there's so many people who they take the news and stuff they see in articles and Facebook as like the God's honest truth.
These allegations were never charged at trial, never proven, never submitted to or ruled on by a jury, and eventually they were dismissed with prejudice, but that doesn't stop the media from circulating these things.
Yep.
And, you know, the rumor mill. Ross consistently denied the allegations, which relied on anonymous online chats, never proven to have been authored by him, and those who know him never believed them.
What a terrible jury.
Yeah, the only alleged victim ever identified, Curtis Green, is a fervent supporter of Ross's clemency. So they.
I mean, if that doesn't say it all right there.
Yeah. That's really all you need to know. Here's a man who built a website. He's in prison for the rest of his life. We are on the eve of Mr. Freeman receiving sentencing for selling Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. And you can definitely see a lot of overlap here between these two cases. Absolutely. Where they, you know, the murder for hire thing, right? Like they picked that one thing that sounds bad, right?
Yep.
So at the end they were like, yeah, the scammers, the little old ladies.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't really have, I wouldn't say anything, but it doesn't have as much to do with the actual charges.
Right.
Right? Like he wasn't being charged for being a scammer, right?
Right.
Not that I was aware of.
No, he was not.
But for some reason, the entire case was about,
yeah.
you know, his involvement in these scams. So it's like, okay, but that's and the same thing with Ross, right? It's like the murder for hire, the murder for hire. I'm sorry, did Ross Ulbricht hire somebody to murder somebody? No.
Nope.
There's no evidence of it.
So why was that such a big thing in the case and such a big thing that the media is circulating?
It's called, because that's how you justify the sentence.
Right. It's called demonization.
Yeah.
Right? This is what the media is very, very good at. We talk a lot about in a stateless society reputation, right, being sort of, you know, important in your interactions with people. You know, how is your reputation? Are you known for keeping your word? Do you make deals and stick to them? And, you know, do you follow arbitration when it's not, you know, all this kind of stuff? These are people, both Ross Ulbricht and Ian Freeman, who have what I would consider stellar reputations.
Absolutely.
And so the only way that the state can combat that is by demonizing the reputation, by pulling something that has literally no bearing on the case whatsoever to pull at the heartstrings of the general public.
But the state has a bigger mouthpiece, so they get away with it.
They do.
Do you know what that's called? Lying.
Oh, yeah.
That's lying.
Sure is. Yeah. Yep. That's exactly what's happening.
Yep.
Yeah.
With the
lies, deceit.
With the Ian Freeman sentencing, if they, depending on how they go with the years, right, it's not going to be on any sort of fraud or victimhood. It's going to be on the heartstrings of the little old ladies that lost their life savings buying Bitcoin for the actual scammer.
It's funny because there used to be scams where people would try and make you feel bad for things like little old ladies or children.
Yep.
Right. In order to get you to give up money.
But then they realize that the little old ladies have more money than, you know, we do. So
they've been stashing it away for decades.
And so, now the state, combined with the media, is using ye old little old ladies, quote unquote, to railroad a man. Right. If the statements read by the three little old ladies that they trotted out at sentencing part one, if they're true, the prosecution, that is the government, has done a great job of convincing these little old ladies that Ian was the romance scammer.
Well, they're easily manipulable. That's why they got scammed in the first place.
Yeah. Now, there's
not that hard to continue that line.
There's zero evidence. In fact, the claim wasn't even made, and in fact, the prosecution even admitted that, no, Ian Freeman is not the romance scammer. He was only providing a service that helped facilitate these scams financially, right? So the scammers would scam the little ladies out of their money. The little ladies would send their money in, and then Ian would send the little ladies some Bitcoin, who would then transfer that over to the scammer.
Just like a wire transfer from a bank or a Western Union money order going across overseas.
I
or you walk across the street to the ATM and pull up some cash.
Whatever.
But I also think it's valuable to point out here that in order for that whole thing to happen, these innocent little old ladies, right, went out of their way to lie. They had to lie to Ian in order to facilitate this.
Right.
So it kind of sounds like he was the one being deceived and misled
in
this case.
Absolutely. That's exactly what happened.
But since he's not a little old lady whatever.
And he went out of his way. He did more.
He's not a sympathetic defendant.
Right. But he did more to collect data and identify his customers than any KYC regulation does.
Yep.
Right. And so for them to say that, you know, he was in on it is far-fetched. All of the evidence, in fact, that the prosecution has presented was collected and maintained by Ian Freeman. He kept records of his transactions. He kept, pictures of everyone holding up a sign that said, I, state your name, hereby voluntarily engage in this transaction. I'm paraphrasing, right?
Whatever it said.
But each of them held up a sign giving consent to the transaction. And this is where the government is failing in this particular case, is Mr. Freeman never violated consent. And that's the basis of,
a just society, a peaceful society.
If you look at religions, you look at cultures, even tribal cultures, right? Non-technologically, like, you know, the tribes that still exist in, like, Africa somewhere, that kind of
thing. Yeah, like primitive cultures, yeah.
And then you look at all of the modern, we'll call them states even, right? Governments. They all base their systems, literally, on consent. Has it been violated or not? Now, we know that states get away from that, particularly the United States, as they have.
Any government, for that matter.
But that is sort of the basis of society, the basis of all law. It's all, everyone, the common thread amongst all human cultures is recognition that if consent is violated, it's wrong.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with that completely, because there's a lot of violent cultures and that have existed through the history of time.
Sure, but even the violent cultures still recognize that, you know, if you just come over and, like, you know, chop a guy's head off, you're wrong, right? For, like, no reason, right?
Maybe.
You violated consent, right? If you, you know, even the tribes would, like, they would, I think the Native Americans referred to it as taking a wife.
Okay.
Right? Which, it kind of sounds rapey. Right?
Well, I mean, I don't have, like, a history background, but the Native American tribes were, like, violent amongst each other.
They did war against each other. They did. It's true.
And there's been, you know, barbarians and invaders and Vikings and all those other.
Sure.
We're just going to.
Well, and then you look at the United States, right? The largest empire the planet has ever known.
I get it.
Killing people on a daily basis. But their system is still based on consent.
I think they try to convince people that it's based on consent, but the evidence is to the contrary.
Okay. So, at any rate, Mr. Freeman did not violate anyone's consent.
That much is true. In our world, right, in our system of justice, he did nothing wrong and went out of his way to do better than was the minimum required.
Yeah, yeah. And, in fact, went out of his way to make sure that he was operating within what he thought the guidelines to be legally.
Yeah.
Right, he sought legal opinion on what he was doing. He sought counsel on, you know, how he was going about doing things.
Yeah.
You know, he did fill out the appropriate forms and all that stuff to establish his organization and that kind of a thing. And so,
I purchased Bitcoin from trusted sources, but I'm very much against any sort of KYC.
Right.
So, you know, even knowing that he was doing that, I know Ian. Right, but I was like, that's kind of not my thing. Like, it's supposed to be anonymous. I don't want to know you. You don't need to know me, right? I don't want any way to trace this back to you, me, my wallet, your wallet. Like, that's the pitch of Bitcoin up front.
Right.
And then, you know, there's other tokens or coins or whatever that'll do that
right
now anyway. But the whole KYC aspect of it is government nonsense. Why do you have to keep records? In case the government wants to know.
Right.
Otherwise, who cares?
Right.
Right. I don't care where this Bitcoin is going. I don't care where it was before it got to me.
Right.
The only reason any of these sellers and traders or whatever have to keep records is fear of government interference in their transactions.
Yep.
And it's not supposed to be like that at all.
Yeah. When you do a cash transaction, does the person you're transacting with take down, you know, your driver's license number, your social security number,
hopefully
your
not
address, right? You know, all this kind of, no, you just have some cash and you hand it over and they make some change and then you go on about your day.
Right. I've purchased privately firearms in New Hampshire without filling out federal forms. Right. And even those, right, they're like, well, we got to see some form of ID in case the government comes looking at me for something you did with the firearm.
Yep.
Right. And I'm like, well, fine, because I don't want to fill out the, you know, I forget the number of the form already.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. I looked at Nikki because Matt. But yeah, I don't want to fill out. I want to acquire as many firearms as possible without filling out that form.
Right.
And I can do that here.
Yeah.
You know, legally.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just, you know, I want it to be as faceless.
Yeah.
Normal as possible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't it normal to just be able to interact with people without forms?
Here's $500.
Form for everything.
Give me the pistol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boom. Easy. Oh, that's a transaction.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Yeah. If we want to keep in touch because you got more to sell me.
Yeah. That's give me a business card.
Something.
You know.
Yeah. I'll get a hold of you.
Yeah.
All right. We could talk more about Ross Ulbricht and Ian Freeman. Of course, if you're listening and you can attend tomorrow at 10 a.m. in Concord, New Hampshire, is sentencing part two. Let's get this one out of the way. We've got Squidward calling from California. Squidward, you're on Free Talk Live.
It's the one and only founder and developer of evolutionary capitalism, your boy, Subjective Skeeter. Hey, thanks for taking my call on Saturday.
So subjective, no value skater.
No value? Oh, then.
Subjective.
No value.
No value. A lot of noise coming from this end of the phone.
Well, It's not for you to decide. But anyways, yesterday I made the claim that the drug war and virtually all wars helps physically destroy the government. And I want to address David's false misrepresentation that the drug war is somehow profitable for the federal for any government.
I think David's knowledge and expertise handled you very well last night.
No, he absolutely didn't. He it's funny how he restricted costs to the DEA.
You got so mad you were asking about cost accounting versus accrual accounting, as if that had any relevance to the conversation.
Yeah, you're a dumb business major from Gonzaga. You should know, right?
Yeah.
So David failed to give the full picture of the total revenue and expenditures of the drug war to government, since the DEA is just a small part of the cost of the drug war to the federal government. And might make up the large part of revenue generated by asset forfeiture. And that doesn't take into account the full cost of enforcement, prosecution, and incarceration associated with the drug war. From a study titled The Budgetary Effects of
Ending
Drug
Prohibition.
Now Skeeter's going to read to us again.
Don't read to us.
From the Book of the Skeet.
Yeah. Who cares? This is from, I'm quoting from The Budgetary Effects of Ending Drug Prohibition in 2018.
So Skeeter.
From your boys at the Cato Institute.
Skeeter,
and your boy Jeffrey Myers.
Government doesn't care. Government doesn't care. Government has unlimited resources. Unlimited resources. They don't care how much it costs. They never have.
Are you an MMT guy or something? Are you an MMT guy? I want to vote for an MMT economist. Modern monetary theory. I'm hoping one gets in the White House an economist. But so Jeffrey Myron, libertarian.
Who's your candidate?
A proclaimed libertarian, PhD in economics from MIT, senior professor and director at Harvard Economics Department, research fellow for the National Bureau of Economic Research, and vice president for research.
So all these credentials that you don't have, Skeeter.
So in this study, Myron concludes, at both federal and state levels, government budgets would benefit enormously from drug legalization policies. This report estimates that $47.9 billion is spent annually on drug prohibition.
Yeah, I listened to System of a Down, too, Skeeter, and all research and successful drug policy shows. I'm not done either. All research and successful drug policy shows that treatment should be increased, law enforcement decreased, while abolishing mandatory minimum sentences. This is a quote, this is a lyric, and yes, I did put you back on hold, from System of a Down, and it's true. And this is the data that you are citing. Yes, all research and successful drug policy shows that treatment should be increased.
From your boys at the Cato Institute.
Law enforcement decreased while abolishing mandatory minimum sentences. There's a reason why states like Colorado and Washington were the leaders in, I'm going to call it legalizing marijuana. What they did is they actually turned around and they fascist legalized marijuana because they released it as a government mandated specific program. That is to say,
I don't know, but
that is to say, I'll tell you because I know you don't know.
I know tax revenue was a big part of it.
I'm putting you back on hold again.
What else doesn't he know, Captain?
I'll tell you. The reason that they did it, of course, was because they are trying to increase the amount of money they take in. The government is a sieve. It is a black hole. It likes to suck in as much money as it can from its tax base.
A leech, a tick, a parasite.
Right. And so the only way they could go about doing this successfully is by making sure they mandated exactly how each of these stores could look and feel and operate. Like, they have control of the full thing. They have control.
Which is why they all look the same.
Right. They have control of the growers. They have control of the distributors. They have control of the retailers. And so this is why you haven't seen, and I've said this before, this is why you haven't seen in the United States, a coffee shop that sells marijuana, which is the Amsterdam dream, right? Mm-hmm. All of the hippies and the weed heads and the normal people, NORML, right? National Organization for Reformation of Marijuana Laws, right? All these people dreamed of a day when in the United States of America, one could go to a coffee shop, order some coffee and a joint, just like they did in Amsterdam. And they were unable to do that because the government wouldn't allow it.
I mean, those small regulations don't matter. What matters is
not small regulations. They tax them at more than 30% at every level.
Let me talk now.
No, I don't think I will.
Yeah. All that nonsense coming from the skeet man.
That silence is golden, isn't it? I think I'm going to hang up on him now.
Okay. Moving
on. So my brain does this wonderful thing. I think I inherited this from my father. I like to call it like selective hearing. So it's kind of a defense mechanism. So whenever someone like Skeeter calls... Mm-hmm. My brain just turns off.
Right.
And I'm just like, my brain's just like, I'm like listening to like Toxic by System of a Down in my head instead. Right. And then you hang up on them. And then it's like, boop, 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 like Windows, you know, it's turning on
it
noise.
It resumes, right.
Yeah. It's the adults like, okay. Talking in Peanuts.
Yeah.
I wonder if that happens for the listeners, too. If they're like, when Skeeter calls in, if they're like, oh, God.
They're like, all right, fast forward a couple of minutes.
Man, we might have just explained Mark's data set from earlier.
Skeeter?
Yeah. Solely responsible for the drop in downloads, listens.
Yeah.
Too much of the Skeet Man.
People are like, screw that guy. I'm not listening to that crap. I mean, we are Free Talk Live, so, you know.
Take a note is when the listenership starts to drop off before or after a Skeeter call.
If we're making the dates, you know, seem like biblical style, it would be like BS and AS.
Yeah.
Right? Is it BS before Skeeter or AS after Skeeter?
Look at this. We had, like, so many listeners BS, and as soon as EAS came around, it just dropped off like a cliff.
Oh, man.
Be entertaining. There's some advice for you.
Hi.
Skeeter.
You know, did we mention that you're identifying now?
I mentioned at the beginning of the show. He didn't bring it up.
Okay.
But he also didn't say he's our favorite evolutionary capitalist either, so he must know.
No, he said that he was the founder of evolutionary capitalism.
Yeah, that's fine. So. He's still our least favorite now.
603-283-6160. We could talk more about Russell Bricks. We could talk more about Ian's sentencing tomorrow. We still have our number two story to get to, plus more. It's Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.